If you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I don't know what this week is going to have for you, but I know that God's got some miracles that he wants to do through you. Tell your neighbor, say, the grace you have is for someone else. Right, because you've got God's grace on your life, amen? No matter where you walk, no matter what you do, you're filled with grace. Mercy is already upon you. It entered your room this morning. Did you enjoy it this morning? You see, so many get up and run out because you didn't get up early enough before church. You just ran out. Hopefully you brushed your teeth this morning. But sometimes we run out when we miss that moment with the Father early in the morning. But that mercy was more than enough. And that grace upon your life, it's enough for you and everybody else the Holy Spirit sends you. We were singing that song this morning when you walk in the room. And then send your Holy Spirit. And he already has sent his Holy Spirit. Amen? He's already rained down. And anyone that asks has already received that gift of the Holy Ghost. And that gift is for someone else. That's why God filled you to overflowing. So no matter where you walk, someone else's life is changed. It's got to be. We've got to get our eyes off of, Lord, give me more. He's given you all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. Right. So everything you need to walk in holiness and godliness, he's given. Now we just have to agree with what he said. Do we agree? Right. And get our eyes off of the foolish things. And, you know, I don't know who's going to call this week, but we had a phone call on a guy that I've known for a lot of years. I haven't seen him but once in about 7-8 years. And he said he was going to end his life. He said, I'm done. Can't do it. And so we had a chat. And I said, no, you're not going to do that. That's a coward's way out. And you've got too much to live for. And he said, yeah, but you don't understand the pain. And every one of us have walked through some pain. And sometimes pain is multiplied in many levels, and it comes through many different levels. And some people, I don't know what people's threshold is, but I've been with people who have met their threshold, and they couldn't take any more. And I said, we're not going to do that. I said, but I don't have a lot of time today or tomorrow, so hold off till Thursday. He said, all right, I'll wait till Thursday. I said, okay, just put everything aside. I'm going to pray for you today, and then we'll meet Thursday, and we'll talk about it. He said, all right, I'll wait till Thursday. Sometimes God does crazy things. So I met with him on Thursday, and we prayed, and I led him to the Lord, and now he doesn't want to do that anymore. Amen? See, I don't know who God has for you this morning. I don't know who he's preparing for this morning. And I don't know what it's going to look like. And it might be something crazy that you have to come up with. That sounds wild. But if you just obey the Holy Ghost, you get the victory. There were so many things going on, I just didn't have time. I said, I can't. He said, okay, I'll wait. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if he said he couldn't wait, I would have to run right over there, obviously. But I was like, well, good. I'll put you in my day timer, and I'll be over. And, you know, I spent 2-3 hours just talking with him, encouraging him, loving on him, building him up. And now yesterday he called again, and we spent some more time. And we're going to keep spending more time. Because, you know, once they get saved, then there's still work to do. Lots of work. That's when the work begins. Amen? Now, we all know that work is what? Worship. Right? So when we're working, we're doing it as worship unto the Lord. And you see, in the Bible, we've been talking about discipleship, right? And discipleship takes work, takes your time, takes your effort, takes everything. All of a sudden, everything you wanted to get done doesn't get done. But the kingdom gets done. Which one's more important? What you're doing and what the kingdom is. And we're going to have to get that switch or that transition and realize that the greatest thing we could possibly do is build and expand the kingdom of God, not our own little kingdoms that are futile, that all stay here. Amen? So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to start there this morning. And because of all that God has already done this morning, I don't know how much we're going to get through. But that's all right, isn't it? So, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to start right in verse 1. It says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Time to realize some stuff, folks. Do you realize that the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 2000, early 2000s are over? They're never going to happen again. Do you realize that? That was one time, one moment in the history of our nation. 68, most tumultuous time. We've said that many times. That's when from we to me took over and everything started to change. So you people that came through the 60s, thanks a lot. I wasn't born to 64, so I'm not in that group, all right? But that's where they said one of the major transformations and changes started coming. And that's when the selfishness really started kicking in even a greater way than it ever had before. And now this is where we see the outworkings of it. But this was written 2,000 years prior. He said, you better realize this. How many Christians do we know walking around, throwing their hands in the air, running and just trying to hide? Oh, Jesus, come back. Jesus, come back. I'm saved. My husband's saved. My children are saved. That's all I care about. Jesus, Maranatha, come back. How sad and selfish that is. How infantile and immature for anyone, especially those inside this house, to ever think like that. That's not what God's called us to do. Amen? He called you for this season, this end time. You were built for this. The boys have this saying, the young ones, there, Landon and Gavin, they dead. I said, oh, that was a nice shot. Yeah, I'm just built different. Yeah, okay. But I think that's for you in here. You're built different. You're not built to cower. You're not built to cave. You're not built to quit. You're not built to whine and snivel. That's not here, not in this house. You were built for war. You were made as a warrior. You've been created for a time such as this. God's been preparing you your whole life for now. And His Word says, do you realize this? He said, you better realize. Paul's writing this 2,000 years ago. You better realize who you are. And you better realize the day you're living in. Because the day we're living in is a day for a huge harvest. But it's going to take warriors to receive that harvest. It's going to take men and women that aren't afraid, that aren't distracted, that don't care what the media has to say. They only care about what the Word of God has to say. And the Word of God said, you're free this morning. Amen? You're free to preach Jesus Christ. You're free to pray for people on the street. You're free to proclaim your opinion on everything, including abortion, that it's wrong and it's sin. I don't care what California's doing. They just passed a law out there that now, 28 days after that baby's born, you can still kill it. This is infanticide. They're murdering children. Now, when you devalue one life, you devalue every life. You have the same value as one of those babies in the womb, according to our government. That's how they see you. No different. Either you produce what they want, or we eliminate you too. That's how they see life. They want to eliminate the old because they're a burden on society. And they want to destroy, kill innocent babies because they can't hear them scream. The only reason, because it's inconvenient for me. It's my choice. You got a choice. Don't get in bed with anybody till you're married. That's the choice. This is what the Word of God says. Things get awful quiet in church when you go this route. All right, not in the front row. Listen, there is no condemnation. I guarantee you there's women in here that have had an abortion. This is not an attack on you. No. Hear my heart. We love you. We are committed to you to get healed and delivered and to go out and transform people's lives. And then tell these other women, don't do it. I sat in a meeting in Washington, D.C. with four ladies that had gotten abortions years ago. And I wept through their testimonies. It just wrecked me. The one said, I still hear the screams at night. I can't sleep all night. Been walking with the Lord for years. The other one, every day on the birthday, I don't remember. I don't even know it's the birthday. It's been so long and I go into depression. I don't even want to get out of bed and I can't figure out why. And then I realize, I remember. These are things that people do to themselves that hurt them for a long time. We can't, as a church, sit back and say, don't worry about it. That's none of your business. It is our business. Life is our business. Protecting babies is our business. Which country was it that's passed out? Holland just passed a law. Oh, it's been their law in Holland that if a baby is born, and within a year, if two doctors agree that that baby will be too much of a burden on society, they kill it. Up to a year. If you try to leave the country with the baby, you're arrested. They take it and do it anyway. This is the season where you better realize what season we're living in. And the church, I don't want to offend anybody. I want to offend everybody. Because I want to tell them the truth. That the only way you're going to get out of this world and have an eternal salvation is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's not through doing what we want to do. It's doing what He's created us to do. We were created to bring life. Think about that. You're the only creatures on the planet that create something that is eternal. Those babies are eternal, created in eternity by the hand of God. And He gives us those babies to raise in the fear and the admonition of Him. And so many, when they get older and they're problem children, every one of you is a problem children. I'm a problem child. Ask my mom, she'll tell you. She trained me. Just saying. Every one of them. Some people complain about their own children. They're eternal. They're the gifts from God. Do we know the hour we're living in? Do we turn a blind eye? Do we have nothing to say and do? Do we stand back and shiver and quiver and say, I don't want to? Pastor Bob had a wonderful experience this week, right, Pastor Bob? He went over there and stood in front of Planned Parenthood, 40 days for life. You want to grow up in Christ? Go stand out there. They called him all kinds of names and never guessed his. Right, Pastor Bob? Yep. He found out it's not just the cardinals and the blue jay birds that are flying around Hudson. There's all kinds of birds that they show you when you're out there standing for Jesus Christ. Yep. And he stood there and he just proclaimed Jesus. One guy stopped screaming and yelling at him. That's what they do because they want to do whatever they want. And they're filled with hatred and vitriol. We are not. And Pastor Bob and the other gentleman just sat there and prayed for him. And then one lady came walking over and she said, I'm pro-choice, but I'm a, was she a nurse? A midwife. How? It doesn't make sense. She brings those babies. She delivers those babies. And then says, yeah, I don't have no problem killing them in the womb, knowing what happens. And now they're trying to pass it in New York right to the last day before they're born. That's where we're living. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know the season we're living in? Do you know the day and the hour that we're living in? Do we even spend time in prayer crying out for those that are in the womb? The statistics for different cultures are even worse. The black culture, the amount of babies that are being slaughtered, it's unprecedented. Unprecedented. And it was a plan from the very beginning. It wasn't the plan of man. It was the plan of the devil. And yet, how many Christians stand back and say nothing and allow the devil to have his freedom? Well, brother, I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want anybody mad at me. Yeah, but suppose they curse me out. They curse you out. Suppose they hate me. They hated you already because of the Christ inside of you. And it's time that the church realized that this is that time that Paul was talking about. Please, we cannot sit back and say nothing. We need to stand outside there and pray for people. And so many If your life is so self-consumed that you don't have any time, then you better realign your life. If our lives as Christians are so self-consumed that we don't have time for that stuff, that's somebody else's job. That's the ones that God called. He called every single person in this house and everybody that's watching to do the same thing, to stand for life. And every person, I don't know, I don't care who you vote for, but if they are pro-choice, shame on you. It's that simple. If they're going to get in office and they're going to kill babies, then why on earth would any Christian vote them in? Why? There's no reason under the sun. Don't care about no stinking party. They're all corrupt. They're all divisive. And they're all in the same game trying to destroy America from the inside out. And every other country around the world. Do you know the season you're living in? Do you think you're just going to skate by and hang out until Jesus comes? Or hopefully nothing changes too much in your lifetime. It's already changed. It's already changed. And I'm sorry, I'm impassioned about it. But these are babies. He said that in these last days it will be difficult. And that word last is the Greek word where we get eschatos from, where we get eschatology from. And this is talking about the end times. The word always points to an ultimate end of a thing. Points to the ultimate end, not just towards the end. When they use this word, it's pointing to the ultimate end. Speaking of the end, all right? That's the word that Paul is using here. He's qualifying everything that he's getting ready to preach. He's qualifying it all. He said, listen, I'm going to give you some understanding here, but you better be ready and realize this, that in the last of the last days, that's what he's talking about here. He said in verse 2, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they deny the power. And then what's it say? Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know, there's just two that I want to look at this morning because we've been talking about holiness. And can I tell you, if we don't stand for the unborn, there's no way to walk in holiness. There's no way that you can vote and you can say, I have no problem killing babies in the womb. Because life is upon inception. That's when it starts. Ask God. He'll let you know. That's when it begins. And in this house, I'm telling you, my heart just breaks when I hear people and I see things. The way that people speak of someone that they want to vote for. And I know that they're pro-choice. And it rips my guts out. There's no perfect candidate, and we know that. But as far as us, we vote to save babies' lives. And these people that try to write these laws, every one of them should be, they should be tarred and feathered and strung out over here, put right out in the public. Put them out there, make complete mockeries of them. Who do you think you are? You don't represent me. You don't represent what we stand for. Who do you think you are? You ought to be made a mockery of and yanked out of office so stinking fast and thrown out and said you're never allowed to run for public office again. Because if you'll kill one, you'll kill them all. And you don't care how old they are. These are things that are going on, and I think we can all agree with them. But that word, these last days in the classical Greek, it actually depicts a place. It's the furthest place away. So many people, you know, we've been talking about the end times. I've heard about it since I got saved, right? They've been talking about the end times. Back in the late 80s or all through the 80s, I didn't come into the late 80s and early 90s, everything was about the end times. Every teaching, every preaching, everything was teaching about the end times. And they gathered things together, different ministries together, and they were going to change the government by bringing all the denominations together, and then they were going to transform it, and it didn't happen. Why? Because it wasn't God's plan. God's plan is that we disciple one after another. We don't go in and try to run roughshod over top of something. What we do is we go change hearts one at a time. This is what God's called us to do. We got away from the pattern that God spoke to that's going to carry us in these end times. He said, don't be distracted. These are the last days. And it's from the Greek word, again, you know, that as we study this and as we look at this, we look at the hearts of men. We look at the hearts of women, and that tells us where we are on this time clock. That tells us where we are in this season that we're living in. And I just love Paul's word, you know, that where he says, do you realize? He said, but realize, or you better realize this season that we're in. If these things are occurring commonly on a widespread basis, you're to take it as a signal, that we have passed across the line and have entered into the final chapter of history as we have known it. But most Christians are walking around like it's just going to be this way. I have friends that I ran with years ago, and I would talk about these last days, and they said, I've been hearing that since I was a kid. I don't pay no attention to that stuff anymore. And I thought, dear Lord, do you not read the Word of God? I'm not saying I don't know what day it is, but I know it's closer than I first believed. And I know when he's coming back, it's when you're least prepared for it. When people are least ready for it. When they don't expect it to happen. He's coming. Amen? And we only have a short time to transform this whole world for his glory. We said the grace is enough for you and everyone he sends you to. The mercy, it comes every morning preparing you and getting your heart right. Reminding you that he's madly in love with you. Madly in love with you for what? For this season. He's madly in love with you to change someone else's life this season, right now, right here. And we can blow it off and we can chase after the things of this world, but they will never satisfy. Another way of reading that scripture, he said, you emphatically must know what I'm about to tell you. In the very last part of the last times, at the very end of the age, and at the very last of the last days, hurtful, harmful, dangerous, unpredictable, uncontrollable, high-risk periods of time will come in the last of the last days. And when they are bringing up infanticide, I guarantee you there's many other states that are going to jump on board with this. Many other states that are going to agree and they're going to keep on passing. California and New York are always the two worst. The most liberal thought process, the ones that devalue humans the most, because that's really what it comes down to. These two are the barometer for the rest of the country. It's just a matter of time. And it's going on around the world. But in 1 Timothy 3:2, it says, for men shall be unthankful and unholy. Those two go together. A man or a woman that's unthankful is going to be unholy, because you can't be holy and be unthankful. You can't, they don't go together. There's no way that you can walk holy and be unthankful. Thanks be to God, what? How does that go? Who leads us what? Who leads us in triumph. He's already done the work, and he's the one that leads us. But in 3:2 it says, they will be unthankful and unholy. There was a book that came out in the 70s, and a man wrote about how the perversions that were coming. He said TV, and now TV was a lot different in 1970. You had to actually get up and turn the knob, number one. You had to also turn the antenna, number two. And then you had to look between the lines at times when they were going across. And then programming shut off, and you would wake up in the morning, and it was just fuzz on the table. On the TV. But it was a man that wrote a book, and he said, what's coming in America? He said, you're going to see gross perversions and pornography on the television with homosexuality running rampant, and people will celebrate it. And there, all the church said, what? That'll never happen in America. And they all said, he's out of his mind. He doesn't know what he's talking about. They usually say that about prophets. They usually say that about prophets. YouTube now has a channel that now they've created pornography for little kids in cartoon form. Yeah. Yeah, I was reading about it the other day. Now little kids can go on a channel and they can look at porn. It's made for little kids to get them ready, you know, just to prepare them so they have understanding. Right. So moms and dads, be careful about what kind of tablets you leave in your children's room at night. Be careful where their phones are when you got little ones at night. Oh, well, I don't want them getting upset. Let them scream and stomp their feet, yell and holler. Who cares what they do? You lead as a child that God has given you an eternal being, and you don't go by what they want. You go by what the Word of God says. And you protect them babies. This is what the Word of God teaches us. I can't tell you how many people, well, I know, but they just get so upset when I take it away. I'd rather have them upset than go to hell. I don't want them getting mad at me.
They're going to get mad eventually. We might as well get it over with right now. Let's start this party. The pouting party goes to stomping the feet, goes to yelling and screaming, goes to hooting and hollering, which goes to going outside and pick up every stick in the woods. When you get done, you'll have dinner. You got to find some way to train them. But don't leave them to themselves. They're just babies, and they don't know. Don't sit there and get upset and worry about them getting mad. You guys got to stop, all right? My children are over here laughing because they pick up sticks in the woods when they get in trouble, all right? Sorry, guys. You know what? We're going to have to get into the rest of this next week. But I just wanted to lay a foundation of the reality. We need to be those men and women that are thankful for what God is doing. I believe that prophetic word that came forward this morning, that some have been standing by the pool of Siloam and they've even backed away from it. And now they're sitting back saying, it's too late for me. God can't use me. I've been trying. I've been waiting for someone to come alongside of me. I want you to know the Holy Spirit never left you. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of you, and he's the one that guides. He's the one that teaches. He's the one that comforts. He's the one that keeps. He's the one that makes a way where there is no way. That's what he does in each one of our lives. And I believe that if you'll allow him, your life will be changed forever this morning. If you'll reach up and say, Father, I believe you can still use me. I want to be used by you. And I guarantee you, God will say, then I'll do the miraculous through you. That's the only way he uses people. You say his word, miracles happen. That's what happens, right? You proclaim his word to people. I went to that gentleman. I proclaimed the word of God. This is what it says. He said, okay, I want him. A miracle took place, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. That's the miracle that happens when we proclaim his word. You see, when we're a thankful people, then it's easy. When I'm reminded, well, I got to serve my mom communion this morning. And as we were standing there, just thinking about how thankful for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the bread that takes, the body that was given for each one of us. How thankful. What more do I need than just to remember what the blood has already accomplished? That makes me a thankful person in everything I do. Everywhere I go. Doesn't matter how bad it is. I'm still going to be thankful. I'm still going to be grateful to my God.
I'm still going to be reminding him of what he said. My whole family will be saved, and I'm rejoicing in that now. Before I see the whole thing come to pass, I got grandbabies ain't even born yet. They're going to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. It's just that simple. Oh, we just had a grandbaby born. When? The ninth. A little baby girl. 7 pounds something. 5 ounces. Can't wait to go see her. What? Oh, her name is Honey Joe. That's her name. So we get to go down and see her. They're in Tennessee. All right? So we get to go down there in Tennessee and see them next month. But can I tell you? Can't wait to watch that baby serve the Lord. She's going to have to serve the Lord with sweetness. That's all. That's the only way she's going to be able to serve. And that's it. That's the only way we're allowed to serve. And I know we didn't get into the unthankful and unholy what's coming, but if you get around people and they're unthankful and and they're complaining all the time, you need, especially if they're in this house, don't be looking at nobody. A couple people are like, you caught yourself. You better thank me right now, because if you would have turned all the way, there would have been problems at lunch. But if you're around people that are unthankful all the time, you know what the Bible says? What Paul just say? Have nothing to do with them. Yeah. What happens? That junk gets on you. That comes over and just... That unthankfulness is easy to grab a hold of you, ain't it? It does. It comes in, they start complaining. Yeah, that's right. Stinking people. Can't believe it. They're just... I don't even like people. Yeah, me neither, man. You don't even know what you said. What? No, I love people. That's why the Bible said, look, it have nothing to do. Don't go down that road. Don't be around people that are complaining all the time and unthankful. You're the one that's supposed to train them and say, hang on a second. What are you grateful for? It's been a while. I don't know. How about we think of something and you lead the situation? Because you're the only hope they got. You're the only hope that this world has. The next time Jesus comes, the judgment time is done. He's coming in. He's not as a babe. And everything is finished. And only them that name the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. And those are his babies, just like we love all of ours. Everyone out there that's lost are his. So today, this week, stand up this morning. I'm sorry, I went way in a different direction, but I believe that we've set a little bit of a foundation, so you know my heart. Amen. I love babies. Amen. I love mine. I love yours. Pastor Tom loves your babies. Amen. And he gives his life to them. Him and his beautiful bride are downstairs most of the time. Or she's upstairs many times with the children in the nursery or whatever. They've given their lives to training your children. Listen, if you're here and you don't serve, it's time. Kendra, I didn't hear anything from you. I was waiting for an amen, Kendra. Oh, all right, all right. Tom says you're a little louder than that a lot of times. No. Listen, if you want to see babies change, then change their lives and get involved. We don't come here and drop them off at the doorstep. Excuse me. And drop them off at the doorstep and say, somebody else teach him the word of God. I got bigger things to do. What was that, Miss Susanna? No. Is there anything bigger to do besides train a young baby to love the Lord Jesus Christ? People have come to me and say, yeah, I don't do that stuff. Please don't ever say that to me. You won't like me. I'll walk off of this pulpit and go train the children. Somebody else can preach. They're that valuable. So if you're not serving somewhere, I pray that we have so many people serving that you only have to do it once every 2 months. Once every three. Would that be all right with you, Miss Kendra? There you go, you see. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. But he did what the Father asked him to do. He walked in complete obedience. Amen? Amen.
and he gave himself for us. What a victory we have in Jesus Christ. So I hope you're encouraged this morning.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about being thankful next week.
Amen.
Probably just you and me here next week, Bren. We'll start again. Bring a friend. Your friends need to understand how to be thankful. You blessed them and they never even said thank you. They took stuff from your yard and never gave it back and never said thank you. They borrowed your ladders and stuff and never returned it and never even said thank you. We all have those kind of friends. Some of you in here are my friends. Does anybody have my 28-foot step ladder? Or extension ladder. I still can't find it. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, shall we? Come on. Where's my minstrel? How come nobody's playing the guitar? Where's Pastor Jeff? Pastor Jeff, I am so thankful for you this morning. Oh, yeah, Jeff and Lauren have to be here next week, so there's four of us. We're only two are gathered. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for my family in this house. Lord, I thank you for every one of those beautiful babies that are in the nursery, the 2 to 4-year-olds and up to 11s that are downstairs. Father, I thank you for the 12 and up that are in here. Lord, we're so grateful for them. They are our gifts from God. Every day. Not some days. Every day. And Lord, I pray that you would make sure that we're reminded to be thankful for everything that you have done. The work that you have begun in each one of us. Lord, I thank you for all the adults that are here. Lord, for a beautiful family. Lord, ones where you're not knitting us together just as people, but you're knitting our hearts together as sons and daughters of God. You're placing each one of us in this wall for these end times, that rock that is set in a wall that cannot be moved, that's built on that cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Father, you're calling us to come together to grow in a way to be prepared to walk through this so that the harvest would be plentiful. We already know that's coming, but the workers are few, you said. And Lord, I pray that each and every one here would say, whatever the Lord requires, that's what I'm willing to do because I know I'm going to spend eternity with him and he's already washed me clean. He's already made me whole and he's already infused gifts inside of me. He's given me a gift to be a gift to those who are lost and hurting and have never heard of his wonderful love. Father, I thank you for the talents that are here. And no matter what comes, when we walk together, we have more than what we need because you have supplied abundantly for us. Father, today, I pray your blessing upon each one. Lord, that each of us would know the day and the hour that we're living. That we would not just cast it aside. We wouldn't wake up and waste another day just say, I don't know what to do today. I'm going to do nothing. But Father, we would spend time in your word and we would listen to the Holy Spirit and we would just go and do God things. We would put you at the top of our list, first and foremost in our lives, before anything else, that love affair with you, the one who loved us and brought us unto himself, the one who we bowed our knee because of your great love over us. You brought us to a place of repentance through your great love. Let that be our heart all week, Lord. That we just think the King of Glory wants to use me to change someone else's life. Oh, I'm going to be thankful all week. Look at what the Lord has done already. Father, I pray your blessing upon each one. Lord, that you would give them a voice in this day, knowing that your word is true and it's powerful. And every time we speak it, the miraculous starts to happen. Lord, today, I thank you for the miracles that will take place through mighty men and women of God who walk in faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen.